Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Our times together are always such a blessing for me. They help me in my walk and my relationship with the Lord, and I so enjoy these times. I'm thankful for them. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible because I look forward to them each week. I hope and pray that they are a blessing for you as well, that they help you grow in your walk with the Lord, your relationship with Him. I hope as we have this time together today that you've been having a good day, both in terms of the weather, but also your circumstances, your walk, your fellowship with the Lord. It is so good to be able to come together today. It's a beautiful day here. We had some rough weather early yesterday morning, but that has cleared out. It's still a little too cool to film outside. We look forward to doing that. But it's a beautiful day here, and I pray it is where you are. And again, I hope the day that you're having is a wonderful day as well. But you know, as we come together in this time, we don't come just to be with each other, even though it's done electronically like this. We actually come to meet with the Lord. And so let's turn our minds and our hearts toward Him, and let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for the day that you've given to us, the protection yesterday, Lord, through the weather. Father, thank you for the time we had in worship yesterday, and thank you for this time, O God, to come to meet with you. Lord, the sovereign, living God, Father, we praise you that you are the God who rules, who reigns, who created everything, rules over everything, the judge of all. Father, we are so thankful, O God, that you, as a God such as you are, would love sinners like us. Father, thank you for your salvation through your Son. Father, thank you, O God, for the adoption as your children through faith in Him. And Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Give us now the understanding, Father, of your word. Help us, O God, not only to understand what you're saying in terms of facts and theology, but, O God, through that to hear you speak to us. O Lord, reveal yourself, your ways unto us. Help us to know you. Help us to walk with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we open God's word today, we come to a question that all of us have asked at one time or another, probably have asked many times. You may even have asked that question at some point in time during the day today already, whatever point in time it is you're watching this in your day. And that question is very simple. Why do the wicked, why do the wicked get by with it? Now, we've all seen that. In personal experience, we've seen evil, sinful, wicked people getting by with things. We certainly have family and friends who have gone through experiences where the wicked got by with it. We watch the news and we see many times those that we know are wicked and evil getting by with it, not just getting by with it, but seemingly getting ahead with it. Well, that's in fact the question that we see raised in Psalm 73 by Asaph. And you think about what he writes here, because he writes about something that we're all very familiar with. Now, as he begins this psalm, he begins with the truth that he knows to be true, that he knows in his heart, that he knows in his mind, he knows it's absolutely true, just as we know it as we sit here this morning. That is, in fact, the goodness of God. You think about what we see in verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. That wonderful truth that God is good, it's stated throughout His Word. We have been taught that from a young age. You think about that blessing that you may have been taught as a child, or that you taught your child or your grandchildren. It starts out, you know, God is great, God is good. In His very nature, in His very person, God is in fact good. And every one of us can testify as we look at our life and the times and ways that God has moved, that God is in fact good. He is righteous. He is in fact holy. He is in fact perfect. He in fact does bless. You know, probably most of us, like David in the 23rd Psalm, can look at our life and say, my cup overflows. God has been so good to us. And we know it. But that knowledge sometimes causes confusion when we see, number two, as we look at this psalm, the prosperity of the wicked. Now, you think about what Asaph says as he continues to write this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. But you think about what he is inspired to write here. He's very clear, and he expresses what every single one of us has thought many times and maybe even have thought today. Again, that is the prosperity of the wicked. Think about verses 2 through 16. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death. Their body is fat. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They've set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore his people return to this place, and the waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease they have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Again, you think about what Asaph is saying. There's nothing that we probably haven't thought many, many times, maybe even today. He looks around. He sees that the wicked and evil are not just getting by with it, but they're in fact getting ahead with it. And again, we see this. We see it in business. We see it in commerce. We see it in financial dealings. We see it in government. We certainly see it in the media. We see the wicked, in fact, get by with it. And not only do they get by with it, they make no effort to hide it. In fact, it is they flaunt it. We live in a generation where those who commit horrible, evil, sinfulness parade it and are proud of it. They flaunt it. We see not only wicked mankind seemingly, you know, getting by with it, but the absolute pride in doing it and, again, getting ahead with it. Not only that, but they are, in fact, defiant toward God. You see this at many levels. You certainly see it sometimes in entertainers making jokes about God and his righteousness and their behavior and now, it, you know, God's not going to do anything to them. It's amazing. You know, we see exactly what Asaph saw. And Asaph isn't saying anything that we haven't said or at least thought. Maybe like Asaph, we buttoned up our lips so that we wouldn't say anything that would cause anyone else to stumble or trip or to fall or to doubt God in any way. And so we just didn't say anything in that situation. But here you have Asaph. And he asks the question, why have I tried so hard to do the right thing in God's eyes when the wicked, in fact, get by with it? And so you see his problem. And again, it's the same one we have. I know God is good, and yet I look around, and the wicked are not just getting by with it, they're getting ahead with it. Well, look what else we find as we work our way through this psalm, because we come to the turning point in this psalm and in our understanding for this matter. And that is, in fact, the crucial response. The crucial response that Asaph had here, and is the response that we need to have when we see such things and those thoughts go through our mind. Look with me at verse 17. Until, now remember, he has this question. I know God is good, but I see the wicked getting by with it. It troubled me. Verse 17, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. What is it that we need to do when we are troubled, when we're burdened, when we are confused? We need to look to God and see him as he is in his greatness, in his sovereignty, in his glory, in his wisdom, and in his righteousness. The focus of our lives and our walk needs to be God himself. And in times of confusion, especially, I guess you call this moral confusion, where we see this, you know, we know God is good, we see the wicked getting by with it. Times such as that, we need all the more to put our focus on God, on who he is. And again, as we see throughout the book of Psalms, it shows us the importance of growing and personally knowing God in real life shallow religious sweetness doesn't cut it. It doesn't provide the answers. It doesn't provide the guidance. There's nothing solid to it. We need something more than religious cotton candy sweetness. We need the solidity of knowing who the living God is. Like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when King Uzziah was dead, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. The king was dead, God was alive. The king, mortal, now laid to rest, buried, God sovereign and on his throne. The crucial response is to always turn to God, and especially in these times where we do see the wicked getting by with it and getting ahead with it and flaunting it. We need to look to God on his throne. And look what that gives us. It gives us there the confident understanding. It gives us there the understanding of what God is going to do, and we're in fact able to walk in confidence based upon that. As we look upon God, we are reminded and we are shown, and it is revealed to us that God will in fact, A, judge the wicked. Look at what we see in the latter part of verse 17, going on through verse 20. It was, then I perceived their end. Surely you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. In his perfect time and in his perfect way, God will in fact bring all of their sin, all of their evil, all of their wickedness to account. No one is getting by with anything. If it seems like there is a delay in God's judgment being exercised in some area, no one is getting by with anything. They're just accruing interest, if you will, on God's judgment. That's not to say that we take satisfaction in, you know, person A falling under God's wrath and eternal judgment, but there is the confidence in knowing that God will in fact call all sin to account, that God will in fact deal with it. As we look around and we see the wicked many times getting by, getting ahead with it, and we know that God is good, we need to all the more to focus our attention on who God is, because it will confirm the fact that in his perfect way, in a way that glorifies him the most, God will in fact operate in righteousness and bring their sins to judgment. We can rest in him, but our focus has got to be on the Lord. That response of coming to the temple, seeing God, so to speak, and seeing God in his greatness and in his glory, it changes everything. But then we also are reminded, when we do in fact have that perspective of seeing God on his throne, it reminds us that B, God blesses the righteous. Look what we see in verses 21 through 28. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and arrogant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish, and you have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. God does bless those who are in fact his, who in fact walk with him. Blesses us now with his presence, his strength, and many times pours out his blessings on us. We certainly will see it in all of eternity. The goodness of God, we can rest upon him. And yes, we do see the wicked supposedly getting by. Their judgment is certainly coming, but we have God's sustaining strength now, his blessing in the midst of it, and the wonderful blessings that await us with our Lord. God, in fact, blesses the righteous. We can trust our Father with what he does, when he does it, how he does it, the means by which he brings it about, the timing in which he does it. God blesses the righteous. You know, like Asaph, we frequently see the wicked getting by with it, getting ahead with it, prospering from it. But like Asaph, we need to turn our focus upon God and see him And as we look at the God who is sovereign and righteous, in his time and way, he'll deal with the wicked and he'll bless his own. How we need, in fact, to walk with him, to seek him, to follow him. All the more as we see the wicked getting by with it. And I hope as you go through your day to day, and no doubt you probably have already seen some example of this, rather than being troubled to the point of stumbling or tripping, rather than merely trying, you know, having to button your lips so you don't say something wrong, look to the throne. Look to the one who rules and reigns. In his time, he'll deal with them. In his perfect way, he'll deal with them. We pray they come to confession and repentance, salvation, be born again, be forgiven, be cleansed. But we know God will deal with that sin, but he'll bless his own. And may you cling to him as you go through today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. For you are the God who is living and righteous. Father, as we live in this world system, Father, a system under the rule of Satan at this present time, Father, we see evil and wicked, Lord, from high offices, influential positions, all the way down to the street. Many times it seems like they're getting away with it, getting by with it, getting ahead with it. Father, it troubles us. Turn our minds and our hearts towards you, to see you as who you are. And, oh Lord God, from that, knowing that in your time and way, you will deal with the wicked and you will bless your own. Father, lead us, oh God, to turn our hearts towards you and to walk in faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through the rest of the day that you do walk in fellowship with the Lord, especially regarding this issue of the wicked getting by with it. And I hope as we go through this book of Psalms that you see God in his greatness and his glory, but also his nearness, his working, his reality. How in every single moment of our life, in every situation, the great sovereign creator, God of all, is working and moving, and we can rest and trust in him. And I hope that you walk throughout this day with the closeness of his fellowship and the assurance of his wonderful love and grace.